Joe Kane.
I'm Dan Kane.
I'm Sal Konka.
And I'm Wayne Heckler.
And this is the Imperfect Podcast.
Don't forget to go to hecklerkane.com and sign up to become an Imperfect Podcast Insider.
To the bumper.
This week's guest, we spoke with Angelo Calarco, who's an Italian freelance producer and director living in London, operating under the name of Beware the Dog Films. He started his career in Italy as a comedy writer and most recently released his short comedy film, The Cupids, which is currently on its festival run.
It's excellent. It was a good little film. We got to talk to him and find out, pick his brain about this new film. And it's really a fresh look on fantasy.
Yes.
Yeah, it crosses this world between fantasy and reality.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, a topic we all know about relationships and love and dating. But there's these, Cupids that are back there behind the scenes pulling the strings. And we get to see their perspective, which I don't think anybody's really ever done before.
Yeah.
Right. And it's going to be a festival right here on Long Island, so.
Exactly, yeah.
We should be able to go check it out ourselves.
Yep, Gold Coast Film Festival, and it
November
was also 11th, at the Soho International Film Festival. And, hearing his take on it, he worked with a writer, and, there was an interesting problem to solve with this film in terms of making four people on screen look interesting with dialogue, which is something, a lot of people don't really talk about a lot. It just seems like, you just point the camera and shoot.
Yeah. And there's a lot more to it.
A lot more to it than that. So let's hear from Angelo and see what he had to say about his short film, The Cupids. Angelo, welcome to the Imperfect Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. How are you guys?
Good, good, good.
We are doing phenomenal. We're over here in New York. I know you were here recently for the Soho International Film Festival. Have you been to New York before, or was that your first time?
That was my second time, actually, but I was very pleased to be there at the Soho International, because the first time I came in New York, I promised to myself, next time I will be here with one of my films.
Hey, there you go.
Promise fulfilled.
That was great.
Nice.
I kept the promise. It took quite a long time, but I did it.
So you're an Italian filmmaker living in England right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I live in London. And on the UK.
Yeah, so tell us a bit about that journey. I'm sorry, I totally cut you off.
No, sorry. What?
I was saying, so tell us about that journey from Italy to London and...
Oh, well, okay. So basically, I came here in London in 2010, so it's almost like more than 7 years now. And I was one of those... people that say, yeah, let's go in London, let's learn English, because at that time I didn't speak a word in English, actually. Wow. Or my English was really poor, so the idea was to come here and learn the language and be able to write, because my goal was to be able to learn filmmaking and face an international audience, because the biggest problem of Italy is that not everybody speaks English. So if you are in the in the comedy circuit or in the entertainment circuit, and you remain in close into the national circuit, while if you want to face an international audience, you need to be a little more fluent with the biggest language that is spoken in the cinema.
You're doing a great job. Let me say that. I got to interrupt that. You definitely speak very well right now.
Thank you very much. I believe I can still improve, but thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Of course.
And 7 years ago I came here. I started to do a little bit. At that time I was more of a script writer rather than a filmmaker. So I tried to do a little bit of experience into the filmmaking world, so jumping from a runner position, production assistant, and things like that, until I opened my own video production company that I kept with other two colleagues, two people, and then I ran it for 3 years, and then we split up, so we had to close the company, but... I had the chance to start working on this short film, which is Cupids. and that's what I've done so far. So apart from my freelance work,
sure.
At the moment, I'm freelancing and still doing my passion project, which is Cupids.
Sure.
Well, we want to get into Cupids for sure. But what drove you to start looking into filmmaking, and what was your passion? Was it something you've had since you were a kid, or was it something that you developed later?
No, I come from a comedy background. I used to be a stand-up comedian, and I've done almost 10 years of stand-up comedy, working, I'd say, professionally as a comedian. I did some TV as well, back in Italy, in national broadcast TVs and things like that. And then, let me say, cinema for me was always the final dream. I consider it the end of my journey, artistically, let me say. I always had some doubts that I could do it, but I always wanted to try. So the chance to come here in London was also the chance to say, okay, now or never. That was my biggest.
So can we put you on the spot now and ask you to do a little comedy bit, like a 30-second bit?
We have a joke in Italy. I don't know if you probably have it in America as well. So when somebody asks you a comedian for a joke or a little bit of comedy, they always reply something like, okay, if I was a plumber, would you ask me to
fix the sink?
Yeah. Oh, you gotta prove yourself. I'll break the sink.
There you go. Well, it's interesting too that you said, you know, you wanted to find an international audience. You specifically went to London to go learn to speak English. And so growing up in Italy, did you have a lot of American or English speaking like movies and cinema? Like what movies did you watch growing up, or what type of comedy did you watch growing up that inspired you?
I mean, my idols, let me say, are all American or British.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I love Italian comedies too, but I always felt a particular connection with some of the biggest, comedy director, mainly American ones. I love Mel Brooks.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
I love the comedy of Woody Allen. I know that at the moment is a bit of a trouble saying so, but
hey, they're still classics for a reason.
I love his work, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I've always been influenced by that kind of comedy. One of my dreams would be to come and learn comedy from the American comedians, to be honest. Maybe one day will happen, I don't know. But
have you seen online they do a lot of these master classes now? I know there's the Steve Martin master class that's people have been talking very highly about.
He's one of my personal comedy legends.
Yeah,
I've seen some of those, and that's great. I mean, this is the power of internet, right? And there's the power of the new way of communication. So since I came here, actually, that grew even more than expected. So at the moment, the even if you don't, if you are not physically there, you have all the chances to be able to do what you, for example, for this to learn comedy from the American comedians. Let me say.
Yep, exactly.
That's pretty great.
So how did you start to make the leap from just writing and the comedy? So we know you got the funny, right? But to get behind the camera and actually start to direct and do other things, where did you learn that? Did you go to film school as well?
No, I'm self-taught. Mm-hmm. And basically, the year before I moved in England, I wrote my first short film. And with a good friend of mine that is now a producer in Italy called Mattia Puleo, we co-directed it, and because it was a way for him to enter into a film, in one of the biggest film school in Italy, which is the Experimental Center of Cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
And that arrived between 160 short film between the first 10 on 2009. So, well, it was a good sign that maybe there was some room for me. I mean, but yeah, we pretty much learned everything together until I moved here in London, and I just studied a lot by myself. I couldn't afford a film school at the moment, at that time, basically. And So yeah, just a lot of sets, a lot of helping friends, try to give my best, and now I'm even ready to write again, let's say.
Yeah, nice. Cool. So let's talk about Cupids and how that story came about. So what was the inspiration for Cupids? I feel like it's very, for me personally, just to give you some kudos, I think it's a really fresh, original idea that like I've never really seen before. You know, so I'm curious to hear, like, was there something in your life that maybe that concept came from? A lot of writers draw off their own experiences, things like this.
Unfortunately, I didn't write it myself.
Ah, okay.
This is from a very talented British writer called Nick Grills. And I actually met Nick the first year I was here in London in a scriptwriter meeting that we used to attend together. And I remember that story, and it really hit me. And I said, wow, this is amazing. Please don't change a comma on this. Mm-hmm. This script is really, really cool. Mm-hmm. It's really fresh. I like the idea. And in 3 years after, we kind of lost contact. But 3 years later, I was looking for a short film, a story to produce and direct. And I remember that story, so I looked up on the internet for this writer, Nick. I still had the script on my computer.
Nice.
And I wrote him an email, and he didn't reply at first, but wrote again. I said, "Listen, I'm the guy from the scriptwriter group. I'm not stalker or anything." And and then, yeah, he replied, no, nobody did it. The script is up to take. And yeah, and everything started from there. It's not true that we didn't change the comma. I actually helped. I asked him to work together on the script. We kind of adapted to some of the ideas that I had as well. I tried to put some of my point of view in this. And then, yeah, and then everything started from there.
I think any director puts their twist and everything on it in any script, or else it just won't be natural.
Yeah, I didn't do much. I respect so much the work of a writer, and I didn't want to make big, huge changes. Mm-hmm. But I had an idea about how to shoot it, so we cannot adapt some parts of the script to that idea, basically.
So let's talk. Let's talk about that a little bit, like the camera work and how the look of it and the feel and all that. So how did you, after reading the script, what was your process like for figuring out how you were going to shoot this?
Like your interpretation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the fact is that this was a story with I wouldn't say problem, but it's a very static scene. So it was basically four. I don't know if I spoiler too much of the story by saying. Anyway, let me say that the story rotates around the table with four characters that speaks a lot. Okay, and most of the comedy comes from the dialogue of those characters. So the biggest problem was, how do I make this visually interesting? And my approach was to actually study and get out a little bit of the classic, not classic, I'd say, let me say, I studied the genre of the film, which was a comedy and a fantasy film. Mm-hmm. I studied the characters, and I tried to put all of this together in a solution to make this this scene less visually static. Mm-hmm. So basically, we created with the cinematography and the sound as well two words in the same place, and the jumping between the two words was what made the scene a little more dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the choice of the look of the two words was also another way for me to do some comedy, because basically I didn't want to represent the fantasy world in a fantasy way, and the human world, which is the most real one, in a more realistic look. I actually switched the two things because I thought Well, the story is from the point of view of the Cupids, so the real world is the world of the Cupids, while the fantasy one, the way they see the human beings, is more fantastic. Mm-hmm. So that's what we try to create, like a very doku/TV show look for the Cupid's world, and then a more dreamy look for the world of the humans, because it's the way the Cupids see their world.
Yeah,
I think you captured that pretty well. I thought it was well done.
Thank you very much.
There was an interesting scene at the end, and I don't want to give anything away, where two of the main characters are sitting across from each other at a particular table, and I did notice that half of the table was colored and lit seemingly as if it was in the Cupid world, and half of it was lit in the real world. Yeah. And to me, that's what completely tied everything together. And I went, oh, I get it. And I went back and I looked at it again and I said, oh, wow, because it felt natural, the whole progression. It felt natural bouncing back between the two worlds. And then that was the one point where I said, that's it. That's where it ties it together. So kudos.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
And I want to mention, you mentioned the sound as well, and you could definitely, so the sound did play a big part as well. The music, you know, playing in that coffee shop, and you could hear the music in the background in the real world. And then when you go to the, you know, the Cupid's world, you could basically now, it's like a muted, all the music was muted as they talked over and things like that. And you could, it wasn't just muted. It was more,
The idea was,
I don't know what the effect you used, but yeah.
The idea was to create some sort of a bubble.
That's
a
it.
Like a word inside of another word. I don't know if you have, I'm a big fan of the TV series BoJack Horseman. In the third season, there is an episode where they are underwater and everything is like really wobbly. All the sound that comes from it is really, that was the kind of effect that was trying to achieve with the Cupid's world, because it really felt like it was a world inside of another world. It wasn't two worlds colliding each other, but it was one inside of the other.
Yeah.
So that was the idea. The sound plays a big part in this, and it was extremely important. So even for me to find that particular sound was kind of a long process, but we did it.
I'm sure. Did you do all the editing yourself as well then, and the sound?
I did the first cut, and then I gave it to a professional editor who made the second cut, and then I still touched something for the final one. So it was basically a four hands job.
Yes, you each get to use both your hands.
Sometimes feet, too, yes.
Hey, you do what you can do.
Exactly. So what was the, planning to do Cupids? Like I said, it is a pretty original concept. You're on your festival run now. How many festivals have you been to, or are you still going to this year?
Well, the next one is going to be actually in Long Island, at Gold Coast International Film Festival in November.
Oh, awesome. Nice, good.
Exactly the 11th of November at 4:30 p.m. They have a date night short. I took some notes. If you can see, they have a date night short.
Nice.
Are you coming in? Are you coming back to New York?
I wish.
Okay.
I wish. I really wish.
We definitely would have met up with you if you did. You
honestly, that the Gold Coast Film Festival is probably 5 minutes away from where we're sitting right now.
Yeah, it's very close.
Yeah, yes. It's the closest film festival in the area to us.
Oh, nice. Well, you're invited to go and see Cupids.
Thanks.
Maybe I can find some free tickets for you guys if you want to go.
Yeah, well, actually, then we should reach out and try to get press passes is what we'll do.
Well, so we'll work that out.
But yeah.
Thank you, though.
Yeah. That's awesome. And then, so what is the, are there any plans then for further distribution or further installments? What is the plan for Cupids as a concept?
Okay. Cupids has been also a big gym for me. I am quite passionate about self-distribution, so I wanted to try a little bit of what the internet allow you to do. So at the moment, the film is on Amazon, So it's on Amazon US and UK, and also on the platform of VHX, which is a Vimeo platform actually now. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to self-distribute it and finance our festival run with the incomes that comes from it. So we're not going to take a penny out of the of what we get from the view of the film, but we're going to put everything on our festival run to finance the festival run. Until the Valentine's Day 2018, where there will be the big launch online, because I think that that is the perfect day for the cubists to make the world. Our distribution strategy or our distribution campaign is actually called Meet the Cubits.
Cool. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
Very cool. Yeah.
I'm still waiting for some replies from other film festival. Hopefully it's going to go well. Let's see.
Of course.
We definitely wish you luck with your future endeavors.
Yeah, exactly. Angelo, is there anywhere, I know you said it's available on Amazon, is there anywhere, website or other things that you want to tell some folks where to go grab the film and watch?
From our website, so it's www.cupidsthemovie.com/watch. You can go there and watch our film. And also, if you, for all the people that want to stay in touch with us and want to subscribe our newsletter, we also offer them our secret video, which is a mini doc about how the Cupids has been made. Mm-hmm. And also, coming back to your question, yes, we are trying to develop it into a TV series, because everybody we spoke with said that this looks like a good concept for a TV series. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, we have already written the first draft of the series arc of the first season, and we also wrote the idea for the second and the third one, and we are rewriting the first season arc, because we had some new ideas, and with the idea to reach a proper a script for a pilot. When I say we, it's me and Nick Grills.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we would love to write the script of the pilot, but for the launch on Valentine's Day.
Excellent.
So and then from there try to see where the film could go, where the TV series could go. It's actually pretty interesting, because it starts where the short film finishes.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Following one or two characters of the short film. So.
And you could see how it could play into a series, because each week it's a different couple and a different set of quirks that each couple has.
She will have gotten her millionth matchup already. But you know.
Exactly.
I don't want to say too much, but at the moment it's more of one human for each season.
Okay, nice.
Following the whole...
Oh, that's interesting. Interesting.
Yes.
See, yeah, so many different
so many
different
ways
concepts,
to go, yeah. Right. That's excellent,
and
sure.
And there's so many Cupids.
Right, right.
And all the people that, well, anyway, let me just...
yeah, you don't want to say too much, exactly.
No more spoilers, I'm sure. We wish you a lot of luck with the concept, and I hope things are going well for you. Do you plan to travel to the U.S. again for any more showings, festivals, or we're going to be at the AFM?
I wish and I hope that will happen. It will depend by which festival will accept the film. Actually, it went pretty well in New York so far. So out of four film festivals that accepted the film, three were in New York. Okay. So I think the New York audience like this kind of concept.
We are New Yorkers, and we did take a look at this, and we were like, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
We want to talk to him.
We're a good test market.
Yeah,
right.
There you go.
Exactly.
No, yeah, and I love your city, guys. So the love is...
mutual.
Make it four, yeah.
Awesome. Well, Angelo, thank you so much for joining us. I'm glad we got to connect in real time here and not just on Twitter anymore. And
thank you for having me, guys. Really, I really appreciate the invitation. And thank you for the chance to speak about the film.
Absolutely.
You got it.
Our pleasure, Angelo.